Today is the third Sunday in Lent, and we have several announcements. There will be blessing of articles after Mass today at the communion rail. This evening we will have benediction of the Blessed Sacrament at 6 p.m. Saturday we will have the catechism classes after the 8:30 Mass. Next Sunday is Laetare Sunday, and so as we do every year, we sponsor, with your help, the bake sale after the 8 o'clock Mass. So that bake sale will be in the hall after Mass, and we ask that you bring your favorite baked goods and be sure to price them. And the proceeds, in case you're wondering what happens to what's collected at a bake sale, that helps to pay the bills here, keep the lights on, pay for the candles on the altar and things like that. After Holy Communion today, the ushers will distribute the collection envelopes for the next 3 months. And next Sunday, it's that annual ritual of daylight saving time. So that means you have to turn your clocks forward 1 hour so that you'll be on time for Mass. If you forget, then you'll be coming in probably after the sermon. So that's next Saturday night, but it starts on Sunday morning. Now, I have to say, I was almost in shock, but very surprised that this last Friday and a week ago Friday, the attendance for Stations of the Cross was very, very poor. Now, the Holy Hour on Thursday night was very good. But we've been here over 40 years. I don't think I've seen, except when there's a snowstorm, such poor attendance at Stations. What's going on? For those who have been coming, we reward you, but we urge those who could come and did not to come to Stations of the Cross. The good that it does for your soul and the souls of your family is without measure. When it started, this custom in Jerusalem, the Catholics, imitating the Blessed Virgin Mary, would walk to different places on the route that our Lord took as he went from the place of being arrested to the hill of Calvary, walking with Christ. That's what we do. But I would ask all of you, how can you be a good Christian, a Catholic, and not attend Stations of the Cross? So that is this Friday evening at 7 p.m., followed by benediction of the Blessed Sacrament and confessions. Now, you heard our Father Superior give a beautiful discourse on confession and the sacrament of penance. There used to be very long lines after Stations. When I heard confessions a week ago, this last Friday, I had maybe five or six confessions and same with the priest who heard this last Friday. Well, I thought, well, what's going on here? Are they losing their devotion to this sacrament? Of course, the obvious answer is, well, half the people aren't even here. So how can they go to confession if they're not even at stations? We take up our cross daily after denying ourselves and follow our Lord so that is my reminder to you, urging you to come if you are able. And for those who cannot come, some obligation, you should read the Stations of the Cross in your missal and do it at home. The feasts this week are, today is the March 4th, Feast of St. Casimir. Briefly, I'm going to tell you about him because I don't think anyone's spoken to you about him. He was a prince in Poland in the 15th century. What's unique about his story is he was a very devout boy and young man. And his father was king of Poland. And through a lot of political intrigue, he, Casimir, as just a teenager, was forced to take rule of his country. And he, as a not much experience, had advisors around him, and they wanted him to go to war. But it was a big mistake, and they pulled out at the last minute, and it was a disaster. He eventually left this post because he did not have the stomach for politics. Because he was more on saving his own soul. And so he'd practice great austerity. He would sleep on the floor instead of using a bed. And he eventually returned to just a private sort of monastic life. And he's one of those great saints of Poland that kept the faith alive because people pray to him. And so many other Polish saints. They, more than really any country in the world, are trying to keep the faith alive because they go to church, such as it is. I have to say my own country, Czech Republic, virtually nobody goes to church anymore because the communists stamped it out for 2 to 3 generations, so they are pagans there. But that is another story. Tuesday, the Feast of Saints Perpetua and Felicitas. Wednesday, very important saint in the church, Saint Thomas Aquinas. His feast day is Wednesday. It is obviously a gift from God, but we owe Saint Thomas and his love of doctrine, we owe him a great debt because he explained it and wrote about it, preached about it, more than almost anyone else in history. So Wednesday is a good day to go to Mass and to thank that saint. Thursday, St. John of God. Friday, St. Francis of Rome. And then Saturday, the 40 Holy Martyrs. The epistle for this Mass is taken from St. Paul's Epistle to the Ephesians. Brethren, be imitators of God, as very dear children, and walk in love as Christ also loved us and delivered himself up for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God, to ascend in fragrant odor. But immorality and every uncleanness or covetousness, let it not even be named among you, as becomes saints. Or obscenity, or foolish talk, or scurrility, which are out of place, but rather thanksgiving. For know this and understand that no fornicator or unclean person or covetous one, for that is idolatry, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Let no one lead you astray with empty words. Because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the children of disobedience. Do not then become partakers with them. For you were once darkness, and now you are light in the Lord. Walk then as children of light, for the fruit of the light is all in all goodness and justice and truth. Please stand for the gospel. The Holy Gospel for this Mass is taken from the account according to St. Luke, chapter 11, verses 14 to 28. At that time, Jesus was casting out a devil, and the same was dumb. And when he had cast out the devil, the dumb man spoke, and the crowds marveled. But some of them said, "By Beelzebub, the prince of devils, he casts out devils." And others to test him demanded from him a sign from heaven. But he, seeing their thoughts, said to them, "Every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and house will fall upon house. If then Satan also is divided against himself, how shall his kingdom stand? Because you say that I cast out devils by Beelzebub, now, if I cast out devils by Beelzebub, by whom do your children cast them out? Therefore, they shall be your judges. But if I cast out devils by the finger of God, then the kingdom of God has come upon you. When the strong man, fully armed, guards his courtyard, his property is undisturbed. But if a stronger than he attacks and overcomes him, he will take away all his weapons that he relied upon and will divide his spoils. He who is not with me is against me, and he who does not gather with me scatters. When the unclean spirit has gone out of a man, he roams through waterless places in search of rest, and finding none, he says, 'I will return to my house which I left.' And when he has come, he finds the place swept and adorned. Then he goes and takes with him seven other spirits more evil than himself, and they enter in and dwell there, and the last state of that man becomes worse than the first. Now it came to pass that he was saying these things, that a certain woman lifted up her voice from the crowd and said to him, 'Blessed is the womb that bore thee and the breasts that nursed thee.' But he said, 'Rather, blessed are they who hear the word of God and keep it.'" Thus far the words of today's Holy Gospel. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. We have these beautiful lessons, meaning the Epistle and Gospel, for us to consider and to meditate upon today. St. Paul was battling the same sins that we are today. And he's telling these people of Ephesus to not even let the mere mention of these sins, especially immorality and every uncleanness and covetousness, to be named among you. Well, he's speaking to us today. We shouldn't allow it in our own souls, our own bodies, and we should not let it enter into those who we are responsible for, or enter into our homes. Covetousness, sin of one of the capital sins of avarice, having a unbridled attachment and desire for worldly things, to possess things and to possess things that belong to someone else. Because it's not something that the saints practiced. They used the things of the world, but they were not attached to them. And that's why this is the perfect season, Lent. Do some spring cleaning and get rid of things that you don't need and give them to the poor, to people you know, or to strangers. And we do not mean junk. It means something that has value that you don't need. And he's telling us, St. Paul, that no fornicator or unclean person or covetous one can get to heaven. The reason is because at the moment of death, whether it's a long sickness and we have the last sacraments and we're prepared with the priest, or a sudden accident, a car accident or a plane crash, or we have a heart attack, we don't know how we will meet our end. The way we live is the way we will die. If a person just turns himself over to a life of sin and treating God with contempt or indifference, almost for certain that's how that person will die. It'll be a very terrible end. Because the very moment our soul leaves the body, we have to be in a state of grace. You may think, well, I go to Mass and I say my prayers and I come to devotions. I'm genuinely a good person. But how will we know at that last moment that we'll be able to persevere? We don't. And that's why we have to, especially today and the rest of Lent. Right now we're in the very middle of Lent. This coming Thursday is called Mid-Lent Thursday. So we should see what have we done this last few weeks to make up for our sins. Recently, I had to do something difficult, which I didn't care to do, but it's, I have to do it. And it's a struggle sometimes to perform your duty. And I said to myself, it was a grace. Do it for Christ. And then it becomes easy. And it did. I was able to do that task. Are we striving for humility and sorrow for our sins? I mean, really, are we really doing that? Or are we being complacent and thinking, oh, what I'm doing is good enough? That isn't what our Lord did on the cross. He gave everything last drop of blood to save us. This last week I was scheduled to be offering the daily Mass for the faithful, for you. And towards the end of one of the Masses, there was this terrible sound and distraction coming from over here. I almost had to send the server out to stop it because it was very distracting. Because Mass is supposed to be as reverently assisted at and as perfectly quiet as possible. That's why all of you are so good at keeping yourself as reverent as possible before our Lord, our King, and our Majesty. So this noise was going on, and then afterwards I found out it was a worker who was scheduled to come here, but he came early. He was fixing the sacristy door right outside here. Had an air leak, so he was fixing it. Well, I kept my patience after Mass, talking to one of the others in the community to find out what happened. So I walked out the door, and this worker came up to me. He says, "I'm so sorry for disturbing you at the Mass." And he said it like four or five more times, "I'm sorry." He wasn't even in the church. And this man is a Jew. And I thought, what a beautiful thing, this man, his sorrow for a mistake, just a mistake. And he was helping us, but he didn't realize that he disturbed the Mass. And I thought, here's something as an example for all of us, for myself, to really be sorry when we do something that offends our neighbor or offends God, to be heartfelt. It was actually moving to hear this. And in continuing with this epistle, he says, "Let no one lead you astray with empty words, for because of these things the wrath of God comes upon the children of disobedience. Do not then become partakers with them." Now, what does that mean? It means that if there's some relative of yours or some friend, so-called friend, or classmate, or fellow employee, or boss, whatever it is, that is doing something, or practicing something, or in some religion or organization that is a danger to your faith, you have nothing to do with that person. Or at least in that area, if you're forced to be with them, you do not let them drag you away. Do you ever wonder why this chapel, which holds maybe about 120, 130 people, why it's always about the same amount? Do you ever wonder why? That's because there's a core group of people that always want to practice your faith. But we get these converts. And they stay for a few years, or sometimes many years, and then something happens to them, like the parable our Lord describes about the seed cast into the field. The sower sows the seed. And some of it is choked by the cares of the world. Because sometimes you may notice, I haven't seen this person. Whatever happened to that person? I haven't seen him in months or years. They got involved with organizations or people that pulled them away from the true faith and the true Mass. So you do not partake with people. That is what he says. Because we are children of the light. We're following the light of Christ. In the gospel for today, here is another one of those very unfortunate stories in our Lord's life. He does a good work, and then he's criticized for it. You know what that's like? You thought you're helping somebody. You're doing the right thing. And you get slammed for it. So he cast out the devil from this dumb man. Because the devil, even to this day, but it was known more in ancient times, takes possession of a person, possesses their body when they have some other malady, some other sickness. And so it makes that person not only physically ill, but spiritually ill. Our Lord casts it out. And it said the crowds marveled because now this man spoke. But some of them, our Lord's enemies, are those religious leaders. They were jealous. They saw, how can you be angry or jealous of someone who did a good work, helped this poor man? Well, it's because they saw that their influence was disappearing because they saw these beautiful miracles being performed. And because they are blinded by their envy and their hatred for the Son of God, they said, he is casting out devils by Beelzebub, meaning the devil, Satan, which is illogical and stupid, because how can the devil cast out other devils? He wouldn't even be doing what he wants to do. So our Lord pointed out their absurdity and their lack of logic, and they looked even more stupid in front of the crowds, because first they're criticizing our Lord and now they're trying to make up an argument. And that often happens. Because one of the characteristics of demonic behavior or presence, and I don't mean possession, is something that is deceptive or a lie, because God is truth. And when you see something that is not true or a mixture of truth and error, that is a telltale sign of the devil. And when we have the true faith, we can quickly, by actual graces from the Holy Ghost, we can see those things coming in our lives. We can spot the evil and keep it at a distance. Last thing I'll mention is this. We have before us a task, all of us, of saving our souls with God's help. And sometimes it becomes difficult. We get discouraged during Lent sometimes with our Lenten practices or for not performing our Lenten practices of prayers or penances or devotions. I can't tell you how important it is to follow the example of the saints who were sinners just like us. And what did they do when they fell, when they committed a sin? They get up again, just like our Lord did on the road to Calvary. Three times he's on the ground, his face in the dirt. He got up and he kept persevering. He had feelings. He has feelings now. He had feelings in the agony in the garden of the great task he had before him, all the sufferings that were coming. And he even asked his father if this chalice could be removed, taken away, this cup of suffering. But he says, not my will, but thy will be done. And that's what we have to do, to get up and not lose hope. And pray during these last few weeks of Lent, finally, to the Blessed Virgin Mary, refuge of sinners, comforter of the afflicted. She will help you to persevere and not become discouraged, to have confidence in God's help, his grace. And it's, remember, it's not only a day-to-day struggle and journey, but it's hour to hour, it's minute to minute. Because sometimes we think, oh, things are going pretty good, and then there's a setback or a fall. Get right back up again. Tell God you're sorry. Go to confession. Help prepare your souls for heaven and the preview, we can call it that, the preview of heaven, the foretaste of heaven, the Holy Eucharist, that frequent reception of the Holy Eucharist and frequent reception of the sacrament of penance is a virtual guarantee to heaven. I've run out of time, and I wanted to read Psalm 50. Can I ask you a favor, that when you go home today, read Psalm 50. It's a beautiful psalm, one of the most beautiful of all of them. It will help you. May God bless you.